Limerick Today with Joe Nash on Limerick's Live 95 FM.
With Tesco, congratulations to the Limerick Hurlers, All-Ireland Champions 2018 from all at Tesco.
Now, pensions. Yeah, no matter what age you are, you should really be thinking about them. And the government now are proposing this new scheme where people will be automatically enrolled if they're working into a pension scheme once they're earning 20,000 a year or more. And a lot of people think that's a very good idea, and there are some that think maybe it's not great. We'll talk to a couple of experts in just a sec, but we've also been out and about talking to you about it.
It mentioned it on the television last night. People should put some sort of money away in the line of work, that they have something to go back on when they're pinching off from their job. And a lot of people that's employed are not doing that at the present moment. Like, they're trying to help workers now, like, say, for a rainy day, if you want to put it that way. Like, not in every other country, in the States and all, they do that. If they don't do that, they'll have nothing. They just only have their redundant money. I mean, that's kind of then they just put on a state pension. But by putting something away, you have that extra few bob that you can fall back on, and you have some bit of comfort in your life.
I'm not really sure, as I said already. I haven't actually read up too much about it. I have my own pension, so I didn't really take an awful lot of notice. But I'm sure for people who have no way of getting a pension, over 20,000, yes, I think that would be a good idea. 1% isn't an awful lot.
Well, 20,000 euro for one thing is a very low threshold. So to be catching just about anybody who's working in that. One of the things they should be doing with, if they're going to be taking money off you for a compulsory system, is reducing the cost of living. So they could use some of the money that we've been giving to banks and bondholders, instead of giving another slice of our money, build more public housing, reduce the cost of living so that when you're retired, you're not shelling out as much money. Rather than trying to have more money, spend less. That's what I'd go with.
I think it's a good proposal. I think it kind of forces people to think long term, which they don't generally do. So when you're 20-something or something, you don't think about long-term, but you should. So, yeah, I think it's a good idea.
I just don't know. I've kind of read into it properly yet. I only heard it, as I said, on the radio the other day. And I was kind of thinking, to me, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't know. But maybe it can be. I just don't know, to be honest with you.
Right, there you go. Some views on the streets of Limerick about this proposal from the government for what they call auto-enrolment into a pension scheme. So Jim Wallace, who's based locally from First Choice Financial Services, he's a pension expert and he's with me in the studio. And you're welcome, Jim. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Joe.
For coming in. And on the line, we have Economic and Social Analyst of Social Justice Ireland, Eamon Murphy. Good morning to you as well, Eamon.
Morning, Joe.
Jim, in simple terms then, what is the government talking about doing here? And I know it's not straight away, but they're working towards it.
Well, I suppose, Joe, currently there's 35% of the public sector workforce that are contributing to a pension, which means that the 65% that aren't have no planning for the future coming into retirement. So they're trying to introduce a scheme that will allow all ages, starting at age 23 and up to 60, over a salary of 20,000 euros to contribute. And this opens up a pension scheme for up to 500,000 private individuals that are not contributing at the moment into this sector. Allows them to think about the future and plan for the future in that respect.
Will the government give us something if we go into this scheme too?
Yes, they will. Like, I suppose to stay, first of all, I think it's a very good scheme because it's allowing all these people that haven't had a pension contribution. But currently where people that are contributing to existing pension schemes, like, they are not to be forgotten because they're the people that are being proactive in that respect. They're currently getting tax relief on a marginal rate of 40%. That tax relief is going to be eroded under this new scheme. And basically what's going to be offered is a tax credit of one for every 3 euros you contribute, which effectively is a 25% tax credit. So it is hitting the benefit that's there at the moment, but it is also opening up the avenue for people that are not contributing. But the view that I would take is we need clarity on the people that are currently contributing to pension schemes all over. Again, as I said, those that have taken it upon themselves to look into the future and decided to plan for that. And that's where I've worked with a lot of people in that respect. And I just don't want to see those benefits that they're taking to be eroded in that respect. If you
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of the debate over the last few years has been about the level of tax relief? And should the tax relief on people who are contributing to private pensions at the moment be at the standard rate of 20%, or should it be 30% or whatever? And as you say, effectively, this will be 25%. But presumably, if you have a private pension, you won't be auto-enrolled. You won't be compelled to go on the new system.
No, you. Well, this, again, what we're being told is that you can continue with your existing system. You may have the option to opt into the new system if you wish, even though you have an existing one. So, like, there are a number of areas we feel still require clarity as to what exactly they are offering every individual in that respect.
And if you do happen to be earning 20 grand and you're auto-enrolled, that could put a lot of pressure on somebody who's trying to meet day-to-day expenses.
It is going to put a lot of pressure in today's world, we know that. It's going to put pressure on the individual, and it's probably going to put pressure on the employer as well to find, with one of your listeners that was interviewed on the street said 1%. The plan is that that has to grow up to 6% by 2027, so that everyone is contributing 6% of their salary as a minimum, and that the employer is to match that. You know, so that is a big requirement. It took those in Australia 25 years to get up to the employer's percentage in that respect. So it's a huge ask, and it needs buy-in in that respect.
But the employer will be compelled to give something too.
The employer will be compelled under the document that he's been presented, which at the end of the day is a straw man proposal, which is only a discussion document, but it's one of the options that they see is possible. But they are compelled to all individuals who are over 23, under 60, and over €20,000 to make a percentage contribution, as long as the individual makes it as well.
Is it fair to say that one of the hidden downsides of the terrible, destructive economic crash that we had is the robbing of Charlie McCreevy's pension reserve fund in order to meet other costs that had to happen? Because he started that, I think, in the 2000s. Yeah. If that had been allowed to continue, would we be facing the crisis we are now?
Well, realistically, the government are committing to the old age pension. So that reserve, which was used for alternative to keep the country going at the time, you know, they will, I'm hoping, reimburse that fund in time, because one of the things that Regina Doherty, the minister, said was that she was committing to the old age pension, and that this system that's being offered is kind of an extra to give people a comfortable way of living in retirement. Because realistically, you asked a question, how does someone survive on 20,000? Try surviving on 12.5. Based on the current pension today. So people have to see the benefit in having something extra. And there is an advantage because you're getting an extra contribution from the employer. And there's a top up from the revenue as well in that respect.
Eamon Murphy from Social Justice Ireland. Just picking up on the point that Jim was making there. Where is the balance here? Obviously, the societal good versus individual responsibility, but also not putting too much of a burden on the individual.
Well, I'm not really sure where the balance is. I mean, Jim's point made a reference to the figure of 35% coverage in private sector employment, which is a very important one. He's right. A lot of the reasons for government bringing in auto-enrollment are sound. There's a low rate of coverage amongst private sector workers. Private pension savings are currently giving very poor returns in terms of adequate retirement income. But we would be of the opinion that the auto-enrollment system the government is plumping for here is essentially money poorly spent. Fundamentally, the private pension system is not capable of doing what the government needs it to do, which is to create universal coverage for Irish citizens. Now, for years, despite very generous subsidies and various initiatives from what was the Pensions Board and now the Pensions Authority, despite all that, the level of pension coverage kept falling and falling instead of rising. And what we see this now is being the government doubling down on a system that's been failing for years, a very costly one, because the tax relief that's going to private pensions already amounts to about €2.5 billion a year. There's been an estimate from academics in UCD and Maynooth that if auto-enrollment is brought in the proposed way, it's going to cost an extra €700 or €800 million a year in those tax reliefs, or tax credits, if the case may be, to these systems. So, like, we believe that money would be much better spent directing it towards the state pension, which is which needs to be universalised so that everybody within the state gets a payment. Not everybody does at the moment. And set it at a level where you can guarantee that older people will avoid poverty in retirement. That's where we think the balance is.
And the auto-enrolment system is a little bit of a misnomer, isn't it? Because you can opt out at a certain point. Is it after 12 months?
I'm not sure at the point at which you'll be able to opt out. I think it might be a six-month one, but there will be an option there. People, and I suppose they're counting on the fact that people just won't bother, that once they're in there, they'll stay in there. And studies show that is usually the case. People, they don't go to the trouble of actually opting out. But I suppose that we would also have an issue with that 20,000 euro level that, somebody earning, say, 21,000 a year, state pension is at the moment is going to replace about 60% of their income. That's actually quite a high level. So maybe I think that the threshold needs to be set a bit higher. But generally, we think that, while we would encourage people to save for retirement as a good thing, we think that the subsidies that are already going to it and are proposed to go to the private system are already too generous. They're already costing the government too much. People should be encouraged to save, but not at the expense of what's going on at the moment, where you could have over 3 billion euros a year going on this system when you take into account the tax reliefs, the tax credits, the tax-free investment returns that the funds are getting as well.
Right. Jim, sorry, what is the point at which you can opt out as proposed?
Based on the paper, Joe, it's after 8 months you can opt out. And basically you don't have to. As Eamon said, the hope is that people will continue to contribute in that respect.
Now, a listener is saying here, who manages the pension fund under the government's scheme?
Well, basically, the paper has suggested that there will be what's called a central processing authority, which to me sounds a whole new organisation that has to be set up, I'm assuming at a cost, that will administer the contributions that will be paid into the fund. They will then identify four, fund managers that they will allow invest the funds on behalf of the individual in that respect.
And those fund managers will be operating in the private pension sector?
They are operating in the private pension sector at the moment, yes. It's unclear, again, as to who or what requirements they have to have, because it hasn't been spelled out, but basically that was what was appearing in the paper.
What a bit of business for those four private pension operators.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, it's not just, it could be an Irish one they're talking about, it could be a company coming in from the UK that could get the benefit of managing our money in that respect. So, again, there's a number of areas. There's Even after Brexit, but there's a consultation period open until the 4th of November, which they're asking for submissions, and we at First Choice are hoping to do a submission of our own into the areas that we feel have not been touched upon. And if I could say, one of the main areas that has not been touched upon in the whole document that was delivered and spoken about by Regina Doherty was that whole aspect of advice, impartial retirement and financial advice for each individual. It's all fine asking them to make contributions as from 1% up to 6%, but unless they know why they're making them and what they're trying to target effectively, as Eamon said, we all want to have more money in retirement, so those people need to be advised and they need to be educated effectively on what they're trying to achieve in the long run within affordable levels, because at the end of the day, if you can't afford to give it in that respect, you have to know your levels and your cut-off points. So that's the key point that we see, is that there's no advice being mentioned or been making it mandatory in that respect.
Liam has been in touch to say, Joe, with regard to this chat about pensions, I'm almost 60 years old. I lost my job during the recession and I'm now on the scrap heap. That's the way Liam described it himself, as who wants to employ an old timer like me? I don't have a pension scheme to tap into, so it's the old age pension that is the end of the road for me, Joe. And Liam says he loves the show, and thank you very much for that. And I suppose, that is the fear, isn't it, Eamon? And, there's also this issue, and I know your proposal around it is the universality and lifting the level of the old age pension scheme. Because, of course, the more money that somebody earns currently in the private system, the more relief they get in tax.
Yeah, the higher earners, to a great extent, end up benefiting from this tax relief system. About 70% of the benefit that's out there of all that $2.5 billion is going to the top 30% of earners or so. So it's fairly skewed that way. I like what you said actually before the break about how there's a good bit of business in this policy. And to be fair, the pensions industry has been lobbying for this for well over a decade. So we spoke about balance earlier. You know, we think that the pension system should still be used for what it was originally designed. Now, you're going back to the late 19th century in Germany, and the great Otto von Bismarck brought in the first state pension in the world. And the goal was very simply to ensure that people, when they get old, don't have to face into a life of poverty. Now, a lot has changed in pensions in the meantime, but we believe that primary goal should still hold. The pension system isn't there to provide jobs or money for actuaries or tax lawyers, accountants, investment fund managers, all those people who stand to benefit from this, that the purpose should be to allow the elderly and disabled to retire from work with dignity. And you do that by having a state pension that's set at a high level, sorry, a level high enough to keep people out of poverty, and by having it capable of being paid to everybody. Now, that's not the case at the moment in Ireland. You know, the majority of people over 66 will qualify for it in some way, but a great number don't. And they face a very difficult situation in that regard. So the question is whether you should be spending this additional $500 million to $800 million that we estimate would be spent on this system. Do you want to spend it on subsidising further the pensions of people who are, you know, generally speaking, in the top percentage of earners? Or do you want to direct it to the people who I spoke about who don't have a state pension at all?
I don't think, Jim, you agree with everything that Eamon just said there.
No, well, I suppose what I'm just thinking there is with regard to the tax relief each individual can claim depending on their age. And in the same way, we'll say that the new system is they're putting in a 75,000 level where a person can contribute 6% up to 75,000 that the employer has to match. So, look, we all have our views and opinions on it in that respect. But at the end of the day, I don't think that the tax relief that's there is available to everyone in that respect. Yes, if you're on a certain salary, you probably don't get as much tax relief as the person that's on a higher salary. But to just to make the point, there is a cap on of 115,000, depending on your age.
You were saying to me during the break that the industry, because of the financial crisis, you know, got dragged into heavy regulation, which is the world that you live in now, but not as much evidence of it here.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, from following on from 2008 and 2009, the whole of Ireland needed to change from a regulatory perspective. The central bank regulates our industry heavily. And when I've looked at the document that Regina has offered, Regina Doherty, the minister, basically there is no mention of advice to the individual. So, I mean, we've have to bring ourselves, get educated, qualify effectively through the central bank to become regulated to speak and offer opinion with regard to this industry. And all of a sudden she's offering a whole new pension landscape that has never happened in Ireland before. And the one aspect of it is impartial advice doesn't seem to be mentioned in that respect.
Eamon, since we're asking everyone on the phone, would you like to congratulate the Limerick hurlers there?
No, I was delighted for you actually, and my heart was in my mouth watching Galway coming back there on Sunday. It was dreadful. I couldn't stand to see us lose another All Ireland that way. But delighted for you.
All right, thanks, Eamon.
Thanks very much, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, if I could say as well, just on behalf of First Choice, we have people in 18 people in the office from all over the county, and I'd just like to offer our congratulations to the Limerick senior hurling team and John Kiley as well.
Very good. Thank you very much, Jim Wallace from First Choice Financial Services and economic and social analyst of Social Justice Ireland, Eamon Murphy.
Limerick Today with Joan Ash on Limerick's Live 95 FM.
With Tesco, congratulations to the Limerick Hurlers, All-Ireland Champions 2018 from all at Tesco.